Amen. I appreciate that special. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Once again, as we continue to study through the book of Hebrews. This morning, we're going to study verses 32 through 40. Hebrews 11, 32 through 40. When you find your place there, if you're able, let's stand together to honor the Word of God. And we want to learn about the witness of faith this morning. Now, we've just heard about so many of the faith. We come down to verse 32, and the Word of God says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for all that you are and all that you've done for us. We thank you for the life you've given us and for the life everlasting you give us through faith in Christ. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of faith of the men and women, the believers who have come before us, the great works that you accomplished in their lives, and Father, that example that you've given to us. And Father, I pray that you would help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, that we would trust in you in every area of our lives. And Lord, I pray if anyone here has never trusted in you for salvation, that today they would repent and believe the gospel and call out to you and be saved. For those who are saved, I pray that we would surrender our entire lives to you, that you would help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, that you be glorified through all that we do. Help this church, Lord. Help us to be the men and women you've called us to be. Help us to be real disciples. Help us to love you and to love our neighbor and to reach the lost with the gospel. Lord, please bless this time in your word now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These all, having obtained a good report through faith. And that phrase, having obtained a good report, it means to have a witness. It means they have a testimony. It actually is the word that we get martyr from, martyrio. And it means that these people, with their lives and even their deaths, were witnesses of the truth of the promises of God. They believed God's word, and they lived and died believing God's word. It wasn't a temporary faith. It wasn't a superficial faith. It wasn't a blind faith. It was a real faith based on the truth of the word of God, and it changed their lives. It allowed them to accomplish incredible feats in their lives, things that were impossible for mankind to do. They did it. These men and women did things that were incredible, unbelievable even, outside of the working of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they did those things, and they died believing not only the promises that they did see, but they died believing in promises that were beyond physical death. And that's what we want to get today. Very quickly, we'll try to run through these. There's so much to cover this morning, so let's listen quickly and apply quickly. I hope you're taking notes today, but let's notice first of all the accomplishments of faith. Then we'll see the affliction of faith and the anticipation of faith. So first of all, the accomplishments of faith. In verses 32 through 35, the first part of verse 35, we see the remarkable earthly achievements by the power of God through the faith of the believers. All that they did, all that they accomplished in this earth was done through faith. I want you to notice that phrase. It's very important there. Verse 33, who through faith. Now, these men and women did incredible things, had incredible things happen in their lives, and every one of those things was through faith. And before we get into this list, you need to understand today that just because God lists them here in Hebrews chapter 11 does not mean that they were perfect. Doesn't mean that they were sinless. It doesn't mean that they didn't do terrible and awful things at times. It doesn't mean that they trusted God all the time. It does mean that they trusted God when it mattered. And overall, their life was a life of faith. Amen. Yes, they had moments of failure. Yes, they had moments of sin. But overall, they continued to come back to God and to trust in God. And they trusted in Him in the very end when it mattered most. And friends, you and I, we're going to mess up. Amen. I got news for you today. I don't want to burst your bubble, but we're sinners. Amen. Though we're saved by grace through faith, we are still in sinful, carnal bodies, and we struggle with sin, we wrestle with sin, and the things, the good things that we would do, we don't do, and the evil things we wouldn't do, we do that, and we wrestle with this, and we struggle with this, and sometimes we're going to fall, sometimes we're going to mess up, but what we got to do is repent and get back on track and get back on the narrow way and make sure that though we may mess up from time to time, our whole life overall is directed towards faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is all that to say that's an excuse that it's okay if we sin? No. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, we should strive for holiness, strive to be Christ-like. But understand that when you mess up, it's not over. It's not the end of it. And we've got to keep moving forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. So just because a man or a woman makes this list doesn't mean that they were perfect. It means that what happened in their life wasn't about them, it was about God working through them because they believed. Everybody get that? It's not about them. It's about God working through them because they believed. And whatever God does in our lives and whatever God does in His church is going to be done not because of us, because we're so great or wonderful or good, or because we're better than anybody else, or because we have the truth and other people don't. No, what's going to happen here for God's glory is going to happen through us because we trust in Him. It's going to happen because of Him, not because of us. Amen. So first of all, He gives us Gideon. What shall I more say? Well, what has He said already? Well, He's talked to us about so many along the way, hasn't He? He talked to us about Abel. He talked to us about Enoch, who was translated that he should not see death. He talked to us about Noah and Abraham. He talked to us about Sarah, and He talked to us about Moses. He's talked to us about so many before, Moses and Joseph and Joshua and all down through. He talked to us about these who had great faith, and He says, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, also and Samuel and of the prophets. He said, there's so many that I could tell you about. And here He just gives us a tiny list because, friends, there's so many more that He could add to this list. He said, there's not enough time to tell you about it all. And I want to tell you, I can relate to the author here because so many times when I'm preaching, there's just not enough time. I want to tell you more. There's more to say. There's more to give. There's more to share. And that's where he was at. But let's think about Gideon. If you're taking notes, you can write down these references so you can go back and study this out. Gideon, you can learn about in Judges, chapter 6 and 7. And Gideon defeated the Midianite army. That historians tell us, theologians tell us that there were some 135,000 men in the Midianite army. And Gideon went down to face them with 30,000 men. And 135,000 versus 30,000 is not very good odds. So I'm sure Gideon didn't feel good about that. But then God said, that's too many. And I can just imagine in his heart, Gideon was like, what do you mean it's too many? Well, if you go down there and win with 30,000, people might say you did it. So God sent some home. And this has got to be encouraging for the general of an army. Listen, Gideon, I want you to go tell the army, whoever's afraid, whoever's scared, they can go home. And so he gets up and says, whoever's afraid can go home. And it's like, and the Lord says, no, that's still too many. Take them down. I'm going to test them down at the water. And based on how they drank water, God decides who gets to stay and who gets to go home. And I just can imagine Gideon's going, Lord, what are you doing? So he's left with 300 men. And the armies of the Midianites are slain with 300 men. Here's the battle plan. Gideon, I want you to get a pitcher. I want you to get torches and trumpets. No catapults. No crossbows, battering rams. None of that stuff. Pitchers, like to pour water out of. Torches and trumpets. And they surround the army and they break the pitchers and they shine the light. They blow the trumpet. And the Midianites are so scared they kill each other. Listen, God is amazing. And all of that happened because Gideon believed God. He trusted. We read about Barak in Judges chapter 4. He defeated Sisera because he believed the word of the Lord through Deborah. And listen, Barak's faith wasn't perfect. Barak had a little faith. When Deborah said, the Lord has said for you to go down and defeat Sisera, he said, I'll go if you go. And she said, all right, I'll go, but you're not going to get the glory. God's going to give it to a woman. And one of the most incredible stories you ever read in the Bible. You remember? The battle goes against Sisera, so he runs away and he hides in this woman's tent. And he says, I'm thirsty, give me some water. And she says, here, have some milk. Gives him some warm milk out of a bottle, covers him up, and he goes to sleep. And she takes a nail, a tent stake, and a hammer. And she goes over lightly to him. And she drives the nail through one temple, through the other, and pins his head to the ground. And then the Bible says, and he died. You think? And so God took the glory away from Barak, but see, even just a little bit of faith, he believed God, but he still had some fear mixed with his faith, and yet God still used him, and God still brought the victory. Samson, we read about in Judges 14 through 16, and man, Samson's just a mess, isn't he? But God's going to accomplish his purposes, and even in the midst of Samson's wicked desires and his sinfulness and all that he did, God still used him in a great way. I mean, Samson took the jawbone of a donkey and he slew 1,000 Philistines. Can you imagine? Listen, Lord, if I'm going to kill 1,000 people, I'm going to need a machine gun and a lot of ammo. Maybe some artillery. How about a fighter jet? Can I have one of those? No, he just used whatever it was because it wasn't Samson. It wasn't his armor or his sword or his skills. It was the Lord working through him. And we know how Samson sinned against the Lord. He told the secret to Delilah and how they came and she had his head shaved and they came and they put his eyes out and they put him on the millstone. And you'll remember how they all gathered together in one building. But all that time he had been running that mill like an animal, his hair grew back out. And you'll remember how he got down there. And I want to tell you something, friends. It had far more to do with his faith in God than it had to do with the length of his hair. Amen. And so they put him down there and they made sport. They mocked him, made fun of him. And he cried out to God one last time. And he pushed down the pillars that held up the whole building. And he slew more in his death than he did in his life. Why? Because he trusted God. He tells us about Jephthah. You can read about him in Judges chapter 11. He delivered Israel from the Ammonites. And how the Jephthah was an outcast. He was the son of a harlot. He was somebody that nobody wanted, that nobody cared about. But when they got in trouble, they went to him and God used him. And he trusted God to give him victory over the Ammonites. And man, you read about it in Judges 11 when the Ammonites cry out against him and say, you need to give us our land back. He just stand up and he speaks for the Lord. Listen, God gave us this land. We didn't want to mess with you at all. We tried to go around and you came out against us. We would have been at peace with you. We would have left you alone, but you came up and God delivered you into our hands, and what God has given us is ours. Why don't you keep what your God's given you? And we'll keep what our God's given us. And so they came out against him and they slew him with a great slaughter. And there's so much more to say about Jephthah. We don't have the time. David, you can read about David from 1 Samuel chapter 16 all the way through 1 Kings chapter 2. And we of course know David's great faith as a little shepherd boy as he goes to face Goliath. And you'll remember that when he volunteered to go face him, that Saul tried to put him in his armor. Remember, it's not about the armor of men. It's not about the weapons of men. He said, I can't do this. I haven't proved it. He puts it off and he just puts the shepherd clothes on and he gets those five smooth stones and he takes that sling and he goes out to face him. And just remember the words of David when he faced Goliath, you've defied God. You come out here with your sword and your stave. You come out here with all of this armor. But I come in the name of the Lord. And see, it wasn't about David. It was about God. And he stood up for the God of Israel. He stood up for the name of the Lord. He defended the name of God, and therefore he had great faith in God, and God delivered him. And man, I just got an idea that David was a pretty good shot with a sling and a stone anyway. But I'm just going to tell you that there was some divine guidance on that rock that day. And I'm going to tell you, there was a little bit of extra oomph in that rock that day. And with one shot, he put the giant down. And he didn't even have a sword. So he took Goliath's sword. And listen, I know the Bible's a little graphic, but it's right there in the Bible. You can read it. He took Goliath's sword and cut his head off. You don't blaspheme the name of our God. He had great faith, and that was just the beginning. David fought in so many battles and won so many great victories for Israel, always keeping his faith in God and those things. We know David sinned against the Lord. We know he wasn't perfect, but his life was a life of faith, and David pursued the heart of God. He wanted to know the Lord. He wanted to be close to the Lord. Samuel, the entire book of 1 Samuel, he was the last of the judges and the first of the prophets. And Samuel was a man of great faith from very, very early on. He trusted the Lord. He didn't let a word of the Lord fall to the ground. What God gave him to say, he stood up and said it, no matter what. He's a great man of faith. And there's so many lessons we can learn from him. And then he just says the prophets. And we can think about Elijah and Elisha, Isaiah and Jeremiah and so many others throughout the Old Testament. He just lumps them all together. He says, you need to think about all of these who have come before. All the ones I've told you about Abel and Enoch and Noah, and how I've told you about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and how I've told you about Moses, and I've told you about Joshua and all these others. I want you to think about them and all these that I've just listed. Everything that they did, look at it in verse 33. Through faith. Everything they accomplished through faith. And what did they accomplish? Well, they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And do you see it? All that they did. And we think about those that subdued kingdoms like Joshua and all of the judges and David. We think about those who wrought righteousness, who did right things like David and Solomon and King Hezekiah and all the way down to young King Josiah, who put out the false gods and tore down the idols and the groves and brought the people back to the worship of God. We think about those who obtained promises like Abraham and Moses and David and Solomon. We think about the ones who stopped the mouths of lions. How about Daniel? Have any of you ever seen a live lion at the zoo or something? Anybody? Just raise your hand. I'll see about how many here. Okay. Have any of you heard one of those things roar? I want to tell you something. When we went to a trip up there in high school at the Tulsa Zoo, I think it was, they've got like this 30-foot ditch, and it's probably 20 or more foot across, and the lion's over there sleeping. So we were trying to get it to do something. You know, this is boring. Wake up. And so we started making noises at it. And it got up and started pacing back and forth. And then that lion roared and growled. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how far away it was or what was in between me and it, the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and I thought, okay, we're good. I just imagine a whole den of those things that the keepers have kept hungry. And you can imagine, as long as Daniel was around there, he had heard the cries of people as they were thrown into that den, and he had heard them being ripped to pieces by those animals. I don't know about you, but I've got ways, if it's up to me, that I would rather die other than other ways. You know, go to sleep, don't wake up. Sweet. Being eaten alive by lions is not on my list of ways I want to die. And you know that those men that faced those terrible things, and Daniel's going to be cast in. Listen, Daniel didn't say much about it. He just went. Why? Because he trusted God. And God stopped the mouths of the lions. And think about the witness that he had. The king came down. He said, listen, I know God's able to save you. And when he came down in the morning, he said, Daniel, are you alive? Has God saved you? He believed, even the king believed, that Daniel's God could save him. What a testimony of faith. Quenched fire. We got to think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or their real names, their Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, how that they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And man, don't you love that account in Scripture? I mean, the king was so mad at them because they wouldn't worship. He said, I'm going to give you one more chance. And he said, you don't need to give us another chance. You play the music all you want to. We're not going to worship you. We worship God. And I want you to think about this for a second, and this is very relevant for us today, because there are opportunities for us to stand up for God, and we don't sometimes. And it would have been so easy for them to just go along with and know, you know what, in my heart, I'm not really worshiping this king. I'm just going to go along with it so I don't upset anybody and don't cause any problems. And I'm not really worshiping in my heart. I'm just going along with it. You think there's not a temptation to do stuff like that today? Just go along and say, well, I'm not really in it. My heart's not really in it. I'm just going through the motions, so it doesn't matter. They understood something. It mattered. It mattered what they did, and it mattered their testimony before the people, and it mattered their heart before God. And they said, listen, we're not careful to answer you in this matter, O king. We know that our God is able to save us from the fiery furnace. But if not, we'll burn. Don't you love their faith? And do you see how we learn sometimes we have a hard time praying for something, believing something, and praying for God's will to be done? They had it. I know God's able to deliver us, and he will. But if he doesn't, we'll die before we'll bow down to you. Amen. Man. And he was so mad, he said, he sent him down there to cook that fire hotter than it had ever been, seven times hotter than it had ever been before, so much that the soldiers that were supposed to throw him in, they died. Just opening the door. And they threw them in. And closed the door, and the king went down there to watch them burn. But when he looked inside, he saw three men, no wait, four men walking around. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. And when they came out of that furnace, they didn't even have the smell of smoke on their clothes. Not one hair was singed. Listen, we live out in the country and we burn our trash when there's not a burn ban. Let me make that clear. When there's not a burn ban, thank you. I can't go out and burn trash in our trash barrels without something getting on me. And when I go back inside the house, I reek. These men were in the fire and they didn't even smell like it. God is so amazing. Why? And why would he deliver them? Why would he do that? Because they trusted in God. Others escaped the edge of the sword like David and Elijah. Others were out of weakness, they were made strong. And you think about Gideon, when God first called him, he's hiding down behind the wine press trying to thresh the wheat so nobody will see him, the Midianites won't come and take his stuff. He was terrified. And when God called him a mighty man of valor, he said, "Who, me?" I mean, you think about Hezekiah when he was at the point of death and he was at the very weakest point. He was nearly dead and God added 15 years to his life because he trusted God, because he believed. Others waxed valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. I mean, you can think about the judges, Ehud and Jael, and we think about Samson. And you think about the women who received their dead raised to life again. You can read about the widow of Zarephath. You can read about the Shunammite woman who even in the Old Testament, there were people who died and God, by faith, raised those people to life again. The accomplishments of faith. And I'm going to tell you, friends, today, when we look back at these things, they're written for our examples so that we would trust God. And I don't know what kind of trial you're facing. I don't know what kind of difficulty you're facing. I don't know what kind of battle you may be needing to fight spiritually, but I'm here to tell you today that if you will trust God, He will give you victory. Amen. I'm not saying your life's going to be perfect or without problem, without trial or tribulation. I'm saying that God will give you victory. He's done it before and He'll do it again. But it's not just the accomplishments of faith, it's the afflictions of faith. We stopped in the middle of verse 35 where it said women received their dead raised to life again, but then it goes on and listen to this. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. I don't know about you, but I like kind of the first section. You know, defeating armies, overcoming fire and lions and doing all that cool stuff. But these same men, these same women of faith, went through also terrible afflictions, especially the prophets, especially those who stood and proclaimed the message of God no matter what. Amen. When the kings didn't want to hear their message and the kings set up false prophets to tell them what they wanted to hear to tickle their ears, these men faithfully preached the word of God as it was given, no matter what the king said, no matter what the false prophet said. And many of them were tortured by God's own people, or who was supposed to be God's own people. They were faithful to God. They trusted God no matter what. This is thus saith the Lord, and I don't care what happens, I'm not going to change the message. Hey, that ought to ring in our hearts today. That ought to resonate within our souls today. I'm going to stand and proclaim, thus saith the Lord, no matter what. The message of the gospel is not popular in America today. People do not appreciate being told that without Christ they'll spend eternity in hell, but it's the truth. Amen. People don't appreciate being told that their lifestyle is not just a choice, it's a sin, but it's the truth. People don't like being told that the life of a child is precious because it's a child that God has given and it's made in the image of God and it's valuable and ought to be protected. And they don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. People don't like to hear a lot of what the gospel has to say, but it's the truth. People don't like to be told that there is only one way to get into heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's the truth. I'm going to tell you that you're not always going to make friends when you stand up and proclaim the truth of the Word of God in this world. And you ought to be thankful we're in America, because about the worst that's going to happen to you here today is somebody's going to slam the door in your face. It's getting worse, though. We have people who are losing their businesses because they stand up for the truth. It's not right. It's not even constitutional, much less biblical, but it's the fact of what's going on in our country today. Bakers and florists and photographers are losing their businesses on a regular basis. And you ought to pray that our nation changes. Amen. Pray that God will raise up godly judges. Amen. But we have no idea hard for us to even comprehend in our world today what these went through. They were tortured. And the Bible says they would not accept deliverance because they were hoping, they were looking, they were trusting in obtaining a better resurrection. So what is that all about? Well, listen, it means that they were literally tortured. It means that they were physically beaten. It means that they were put in terrible situations and great pain. And even way back then, men had devised devices for torturing people. And one that you read about is they had this wheel and they would stretch somebody out on a wheel and then men would come and beat them to death while they were stretched out on a wheel. And you notice that it says they would not accept deliverance. You know what that means? It means if they would change their story, if they would recant, then they could be set free. But in the midst of the beating, they would not recant. They would not deny God. They would not change the message that God had given them because they weren't worried about physical death. They knew that God had a better resurrection for them. See, they weren't even worried about being brought to life physically. What they were trusting is being brought to life eternally. They had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. They faced bonds and imprisonment. You think about Joseph, you think about Jeremiah the prophet, and all that he suffered for preaching the truth. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, he preached the truth. They were stoned, like the prophet Zechariah, stoned to death. They were sawn asunder. And tradition tells us that Isaiah was cut in half by the king. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute. In other words, friends, they gave up everything. They were afflicted. They were tormented. And you gotta love what verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. Amen. These people were great. And the world would look at them and say, well, what made them so great? I mean, they didn't have anything. Look at them. They're in jail. Look at them. They're being tortured to death. Look at them. They're being mocked. Look at them. People are spitting in their face. Look at them. They have nothing. They don't even have a place to live. How great is that? Oh yeah, they're really special. They got nothing. Their lives are horrible. And yet God says the world was not worthy of these men and women. You see, friends, it's not about this life. It's not about the here and now. It's not about what we have or don't have today. It's about what God has in store for us through our faith in Christ. We've got to get to a place where we get our eyes off of this world and on the world to come. For ourselves and for our families and for the people outside these walls to focus on the eternal. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and in caves, and they suffered great affliction. Friends, I want to tell you, there's some fellas I hear on TV that are telling everybody if they'll just 1, 2, 3 repeat after me that their life will be wonderful and they'll never have any more problems if you send me so much money. And people have corrupted the gospel. And it ought not surprise us too much how much people are turned against God and Christianity because of the nonsense they see on TV. But I want to tell you the truth is, they hated Jesus. And the more we're like Jesus, the more they'll hate us. And if our master suffered, don't think for a second you're better than him. Listen, we sometimes we're scared and we back off and we're timid and we don't want to say too much to offend anybody. And I'm here to tell you sometimes we just need to tell the truth no matter what. We're not always going to make friends with everybody. And we don't go picking a fight. We go to help people come to Christ. But we can't change the message to avoid some affliction. We've got to stand up for him and live for him. And look down at verse 39 and 40, the anticipation of faith. Remember these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They obtained a good report. They had a great witness. Their witness was that in life they accomplished great things for God because they believed God. Through faith, they accomplished these incredible things. Subdued kingdoms. Conquered entire nations through faith. Overcame incredible, impossible odds through faith. But yet it says they didn't receive the promise. Now, God had given many promises, and we know about the covenant He gave with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and carried through Joseph. We know about those promises. We know that they did go into the promised land. We know that they conquered much, and they never did get it all that God had promised them to get. But they weren't just talking about, they weren't just thinking about, they weren't just looking for a kingdom here. We read several weeks ago that they were looking for a heavenly kingdom. They weren't just thinking about now. They had a vision of the future. They had a heart for the future. But they died in faith. They died in faith, and they received not the promise. Now look at verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now I want you to get this. This word perfect means complete. It means finished, fulfilled. And everything wasn't fulfilled in their time. Well, what are we talking about? Real quickly, let's look at a few verses that we've already studied here in Hebrews. Look back at Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 19. Hebrews 7, 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Look at verse 22. By so much was Jesus made surety of a better testament. Look at chapter 8 and verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Look at chapter 9 and verse 8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls and blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot of God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Friends, I want you to get it. He fulfilled all things. And these Old Testament saints, they looked forward to Christ who would come, but they couldn't be made complete, they couldn't be made perfect until Christ did come. And he shed his blood, and he presented his blood as a sacrifice for mankind in heaven. And now those beyond Christ, we look back to what Christ has done, and we can be made perfect in Christ. But you got to look at it. All those saints who died the thousands of years before, the hundreds of years before Christ, they had to look forward. And there was a limit. There was a waiting that had to happen. They couldn't be made complete until Christ come. What I'm trying to tell you is verses 39 and 40, it's about Jesus Christ. It's the fact that he has a better covenant, a better testament, a better sacrifice. And the whole thing we've been talking about this whole time in Hebrews, that Jesus is greater. Amen. Greater promises. Amen. They received some promises. But they could not receive the promise because God made a way for all to come to Christ. Amen. You see, you study your Old Testament, you'll get the idea that really it's all about Israel and that's all that matters. But God never intended to only be the Savior of one nation. God is the Savior of all mankind. Amen. And we need to understand someday when Christ comes back and fulfills all things once and for all, it's not just going to be Israel. It's going to be everybody who comes to God by faith. Yes, it was to the Jew first, but it's also to the Greek, to the Gentile. And He is the Savior of the whole world. Anyone who would can come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. God's provided. He's made a way for better things for us. We think about all the incredible things that they accomplished in those days and the victories that they won, and you think, man, that would be amazing. What a time to live. What a time to live, to be around some of those men as they the Holy Spirit came on them and they slew armies and did all these incredible things. And Moses, when he just held his staff up and the waters were parted, and you look at all of the things that they accomplished. Friends, I want you to get something. That's nothing compared to the building of the kingdom of God through faith in His church today. There is a great cloud of witnesses we're going to see in the very next verse, chapter 12. A great cloud of witnesses. You know what those who have gone before us, and those who have these incredible testimonies, you know what they do? They look down on us because they are vitally interested in what God is doing today. They understand that in the new covenant, they understand that in the church, we have something far better. They understand with the completed word of God, we have a more sure word of prophecy. They understand that we have greater opportunities to do greater things because this is not about the physical things, the accomplishments that they saw. It's about the spiritual victories. It's about the bringing of souls to Christ and having them baptized and part of the church and being disciples of Christ. These victories, these things are greater than any of those things we read about in the Old Covenant. Amen. Do you get that today? And we think it's not a big deal, but I'm telling you, one of these little kids that's in our Sunday school classes, they trust Christ as their Savior and they come up here and they get baptized. That's greatness. Amen. That's incredible victory. When we go and knock on somebody's door and we open up the Word of God and we get to share the gospel with them and they trust Christ, friends, this is great victory. Amen. Far better than killing a few thousand Philistines. Amen. We've won a soul to Christ. Amen. We look at those Old Testament things and we think that that would be amazing. I'm telling you, friends, the battles that we face today and the victories we win spiritually are far greater than those things. We are living in an incredible time in history. Now, we're going to get ready for an invitation. While they're coming, I want you to think about this with me for just a second. We are living in the church age. We're living in the church age. And what that means is it's the time since Jesus Christ came and He began His church and He gave His life on Calvary and rose again. And before He ascended into heaven, He gave His church the Great Commission, our job to do. We're in this church age. And the church is here, the body of Christ, to do the work of the Lord and to bring people to Christ, to share the gospel, see Him baptized and discipled. And we are in the last days of the last days. Amen. Do you believe that? I believe that. You know, it's an amazing thing how people will bring about the truth. People say, well, things just keep going on the way it always has. Nothing's changed. And you know what the Bible says? In the last days, people say it's just going on like it always has. Nothing's changed. And they prophesy against themselves. We live in an incredible, exciting time today. You look at those men and women of the Old Covenant and Testament and all that they accomplished, and you think, man, that's amazing. Listen, you share the gospel with somebody and see them come to Christ, that's far more amazing. You talk to somebody who's been saved, and you teach them what the Bible says about baptism, and you see them come and make the decision to follow Christ in baptism, become part of the church, that's amazing. You see people sitting in these pews and sitting in the classrooms learning the Word of God and growing in the Word of God, becoming real disciples of Christ, that is amazing. You see somebody who's just been saved a little while going out and sharing the gospel with other people and bringing their friends to church. That's amazing. These spiritual victories are far more important, and they'll last forever. And because we saw the victories that they won, we know we can have victory today. But it only happens by faith. Let's stand together this morning. We're going to sing what number? Number 565, friends, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, He will save you today. If you've been saved but you haven't been baptized, you are living in disobedience. You need to follow Christ in scriptural baptism. You need to make that decision today. We can have victory, but we've got to believe and we've got to obey. So trust Him today. Obey Him today. If He's convicting your heart, come right now while we sing.